Welcome to the New Grace Sermon Podcast. Our church exists so people experience new life in Christ. We invite you to connect with us on social media at newgrace.cc, on Facebook and Instagram. For more information about our church or to support us financially, visit newgrace.cc.
All right, here's what we're going to do. You're in Luke 12. On the screen, I want you to look at Mark 8 with me. I want you to look at something Jesus said. Something very heavy Jesus said. Something very sobering Jesus said. He said this in Mark chapter 8 and in verse 36. Jesus said the following: "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give," look at the wording now, "what shall a man give? What's his price tag? What is he willing to exchange for his soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his," look at it, "soul?" Today I want to preach on this thought: don't sell your soul. Don't sell your soul. Would you pray with me? Father, I ask you right now in these next few moments to fill me with your spirit to the point of overflowing. Let this word that you've put in my spirit, let it overflow onto the spirit of these people. May they draw closer to you. May the sobering conviction of your word bring revelation, insight, and enlightenment to the hearers of this word, that we may be doers of the word. Transform lives now. If there's somebody here under the sound of my voice that is not saved, that does not yet know you, may today be the day where their ears are opened up, their eyes are opened up, faith is activated, and they trust in you. They become a Christian. They give their life to you. They are gloriously saved. And this marks the start of a new day. God, we ask you right now to do a great thing in the heart of your people. Preach to the believers now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's clap our hands and give God some praise for the word and the worship. So not long after I started ministry, I saw a visual that was very compelling, very striking visual. And on a whiteboard, it had a dot. And on either side of that dot were two lines, not line segments, but lines with arrows going opposite directions. And under the dot, in parentheses, it said, "your life." The dot represented your life. The line segment represented eternity. One side of it represented eternity before you came into being. The other side represented eternity after you come into being. The dot was your life. The line segment represented eternity. And above it, it said, "Don't live for the dot. Live for the line. Don't live simply for your life. Don't live simply for your existence. Don't live for the dot. Live for the line." For the first time in my life, I began to understand the value of my soul. And I began to understand that there was more to my life, more meaning to my life, and that there was more matter to my existence rather than from my birth to my death. Simply, I could live my life while on earth in such a way that it would impact heaven or hell, and that my existence, watch this now, would not be limited to the dot. That my soul, watch me now, had more existence than simply my life. My life is what I live born to my death in this body. My soul outlives what's lived in my body. If you're tracking with the Rev this morning, just nod your head like this. I'm tracking with you. I'm tracking with you. You don't want me to live for the dot. You want me to live for the line. You don't want me to live simply for my existence. You want me to live with the soul in mind. See, what happened to me is I began to understand that there was more to life than what I had seen with my eye, touched with my hand, or understood with my finite mind. Because all of a sudden, now that I was saved and became a Christian, serving Jesus meant more to me than a career in baseball. Serving Jesus meant more to me than where I was going to go to college or what kind of career I was going to have or how much money I could make or my friends or my girlfriend or my weekends or my success, so to speak. All of a sudden, serving Jesus began to weigh and mean more than any of those other things the world was telling me was valuable. Oh, it is my fear that many of us today live our life with only this one in view. And we are not living our life with the next one in view. So many of us have gotten wrapped up in the post-World War American dream, which is a facade and a fallacy that was sown to us over the last half century. And so many of us right now, we are doing everything we can to live our life in a touchable, tangible manner that we would call successful and prosperous. Let me say something. There ain't nothing wrong with making money. Ain't nothing wrong with adding on to your house. Ain't nothing wrong with buying a vehicle. Ain't nothing wrong with having a hobby and sitting in a tree stand or going to all these places for the kids to be involved in extracurricular activities and recreational activities and sports and stuff after school. Ain't nothing wrong with none of that stuff. Listen to me. Ain't nothing wrong with none of that stuff. But I want you to understand that all that stuff is simply attached to your life, and much of it has no attachment to your soul. And it is possible for a man to live his life and lose his soul. When I say don't sell your soul, y'all think of sitting in some creepy room with candles lit, signing some contract with your own blood, making a deal with the devil. That ain't what I'm talking about. I saw a DVD set one time when I was in Bible college in our dormitory called They Sold Their Soul for Rock and Roll. And it was literally a 3-hour documentary about people that sold their soul to the devil in exchange for fame, success, and accolades. And I understand the premise behind that. That's not what I'm talking about. Pastor Derek didn't tell you, watch out now for the devil. Don't go make a deal with it. That's not what we're talking about. We're simply talking about the context of what Jesus said. It is possible for someone to be so wrapped up in living their life that they never give any thought or afterthought to the soul life. Let me paint this picture with something Jesus said, because Jesus was a master storyteller. And so he gave us a visual. He gave us an illustration by telling us what we would call a parable in Luke chapter 12. You're already there. Verse number 16. He spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And look what the rich man said. This will I do. I will pull down my barns and I will build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. This is the conversation he's going to have with his soul. This is the inner dialogue going on between him and his soul. He says, you've done really, really good. You really struck it right with the ground that you built on, the crops, the harvest. You've got plenty. You're really prospering. You're a heck of a provider, Mr. Farmer. So, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool! This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall all those things be which you've provided for yourself? And then he makes this connection. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Jesus presents us with several things. The first thing Jesus captivates us with is a deception. Now, if you're writing notes, I want you to write down the word deception because that's what Jesus presents us with. In verse number 19, notice the dialogue going on with the man. He says this, I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, prop your feet up, kick back, build you a hammock, relax and be merry. But Jesus says, this is deceiving because this mindset equates life being good to the soul being good. Stay with me, y'all. I promise you I'm going somewhere. He says, just because the life is good does not mean the soul of a man or woman is good. Just because life is sitting in a good place doesn't mean the soul is sitting in a good place. Just because life is put in order does not mean that the soul is put in order. This thinking shows the farmer was neglecting the most important part of himself, his soul. On the outside, everything was accounted for. Everything was prioritized. Everything was taken care of. He had checked all the boxes. He is what we would call successful. He had it going on. He had it made. Job well done. But on the inside, on the other side, on the eternal side, this man was not living a soul life. I've, for two decades, seen so many people. They focus on their health. They focus on making money. They focus on career changes. They focus on their house. They focus on their lawn. They focus on their kids. They focus on their pets. They focus on their trade. They focus on all these things. They're so wrapped up living this life, doing all these things that we were bred, born, told we were supposed to do. And all the while, their soul is as vacant, as dead, and as empty as can be. From the outside, if you check out their social media, they have got it figured out. If you follow them around all week long, they will be what you and I call the pinnacle of American dream success. But their soul is as bankrupt. Somebody better talk to me at 11 o'clock. I ain't waiting for revival night to get stirred up because I know right here, this word needs to be preached. That's hard truth, Brother Derek. I should have brought my steel-toed boots. Oh, just put them out there, honey. We're going to help somebody today because if I can step on the sole of your foot, I can step on the sole in your heart. Listen to me. Nothing wrong with any of that stuff. All that's a part of living. All that's a part of life. But how much of the stuff you and I live for is actually going to make a difference, not in this life, in the life to come. See, there's this misconception that my soul's worth is equated to my net worth. That was the idea this guy had. We're not talking about somebody poor living in poverty. We're talking about somebody who was very, very rich. And it starts to really bring into consideration and examination why Jesus put such a stressor on the rich not being saved. It's not that a rich man won't be saved or can't be saved. It's that the rich already have their God. They already have their God. And Jesus says this is a deception in the mind of people. Life is good, therefore my soul, we good. No, but then Jesus says in verse 20, look at it with me. God said to this man, you fool. You fool. Now see, in Old Testament terminology, when you get into Proverbs and the Psalms, when you see somebody use the word fool, it is about an individual who makes choices as if God does not exist. A fool is somebody who lives their life like God has never spoken. And God says to this wealthy man, he says, you fool, this night, before the clock strikes midnight, within the next 24 hours, your soul will be required of you. Then, who's that barn going to belong to? Who's going to live in that house? Who's going to have to adopt your dog? Who's going to harvest your crops? Who's going to work on that tractor? Whose shall these things be? Because you just gave your whole life to something that had no bearing on the soul that outlives your life. This is a deadline. He gives us a deadline. And Jesus shows us something very striking here. He tells us that life comes with a deadline. We are born pre-programmed with an expiration date because we die. I want you to understand something real quickly. Let's take a pause right now. Let's not think about our money, our jobs, our work. Let's not think about anything else waiting on us when we leave this property. Let's think about this reality for 1 second. Did you know, has it ever occurred to you that your life is actually loaned to you? Your life is loaned to you, and that puts a great perspective on the phrase, we're on borrowed time. See, you can build bigger barns, you can add on to the house, you can have more crops, you can't make more time. I didn't realize it when I was 16. I didn't realize it when I was 25. But there was somewhere getting close to that 4-0 and crossing the top of that hill and going, if I could just have more time. Time is like that bar of soap. See, not everybody uses body wash. Some of y'all still got a bar of soap. You buy that bar of soap, you can still see the word zest. Fully on it. And you can even see the texture, zest. After a few washes, after a few showers, the zest starts to lose its texture. And you don't even realize it, but one day you look down, and that bar of soap that you used to be able to grab full-handed is now that slippery, thin, evasive little substance that you try to make work on the washcloth and get frustrated and give up on the soap. Then one day you walk in there and you go to turn the shower on and hanging on to the bottom of that drain is that little speck of soap that started off as a bar and is about to go away as a speck. That is your time. You're just going to wake up one day and go, what happened to it? Where did it go? This guy was thinking about everything except time and life after death. He was surprised because the one who calls all the shots of our origin and our ending came to him and said, this night, your soul is required of you. Did you know that death is a debt you owe God? Yeah, you were born that way. Death is a debt you owe God. And unless Jesus comes back in our lifetime, every one of us is going to die. This is one thing we all have in common. No matter what our bank account looks like, no matter what kind of shoes we're wearing, no matter what kind of car we drove here, every one of us in this room share one thing in common. We are human and we will die. It is a debt we owe God. We are in debt to the creator and the sustainer of our lives, and all of us will die. I've been pastoring for 22 years. I have seen a lot of people die. I've had to bury teenagers that thought they had their whole life to live. I've buried good, solid Christian men who woke up one day with something wrong in their body, went to the doctor and found out they had an incurable disease and they were given 6 months to live, and I preached their funeral. I've watched people weep and wail and fall apart over the death of a loved one. I've watched people who thought they were ready for it start getting hit with the fear of the reality of this is about to be it. But that's not it. Because in this life, it's like what I preached on a few weeks ago, we can't see through the veil of the unseen. We're so enamored with this life that we think this is as real as it gets. Do you realize there is a realm that is more real than the one you and I sit in right now? There is a day coming where this realm and the next one are going to converge and they will all be one, and the spiritual and the natural will come together. The seen and the unseen, the invisible and the visible, it's all going to come together. It's all going to collide. It's all going to happen right when Jesus makes his appearance. And from that moment on, both of those things are converged. Just like it was in the Garden of Eden, God's going to bring it back around full circle and the whole thing is going to be together. And when we die, we hear the sound of that machine breathing for us. And we hear the sound of footsteps of hospice nurses coming in and out. When we die, we're trying to pick out coffins and flowers and colors and coats. But something that escapes the visibility of the eye and also the limited of the understanding is at the very moment you close your eyes in death, you are immediately the next moment very awake. Yes. Notice what Jesus said. Your soul is required. It's time for you to die. Life is over. But the soul lives on. The soul lives on. Yeah, yeah. If you're in this room and you know where you'll go and when you die, that was the spot where you notify your face and get happy. Yeah, yeah. If you're in this room and you've got loved ones who've already passed on over the other side, that's the part where you get excited. If you're looking for a reason to have something to look forward to and you need a little bit of hope in your life, let me go ahead and remind you, you didn't lose your mama, you didn't lose your granddaddy, you didn't lose your daughter, you didn't lose your friend, because you can't lose somebody when you know where they are. Honey, when I lay my head on my pillow tonight, I ain't worried about what's going to happen if I die, when I die, because I got a Bible promise. I got a blood-bought guarantee that one day when my heart stops beating and my lungs stop breathing, I know I'm going to heaven when I die. I need somebody who is looking forward to the afterlife. Somebody help me praise him if you believe that. Isn't he wonderful? Praise God. I heard one old preacher say like this, I ain't looking for the undertaker, I'm looking for the upper taker. My God, I wish I could preach right there. Wish I could just stop right there and preach. But we got 19 million people to baptize. You are dying, and you die, and then it's real. It was real. It's real. I wish I could stop right there and preach. But the other end of the spectrum is as much a biblical reality and was. The context tells us it was for this man in the parable that he died and he had no consideration living his life around his soul. You are going to wake up eternally present either in a heaven or a hell. Here's the thing. The soul was made to live forever. JJ, help me close. The soul was made to live forever. So here is a takeaway for you to consider. You are going to live forever somewhere. Amen. In your barn, your budget, your bankroll. It can't bail you out of an afterlife you neglected in this life. I've had people tell me, man, you're so heavenly minded, you ain't no earthly good. I'm like, what a compliment. What a compliment. I get criticized of being so enamored and enthusiastic about the bigger picture because I made the conscious decision to give my life to Jesus and not live a slave to the dot. Amen. Jesus is, he's handing it out harshly, but he's handing it out right. He says, you fool, this night your soul is required of you. And so here's the thing, you're going to live, and here's the great news. Are you ready? You're going to die. But if you're saved and you know Christ and he has made your spirit and your soul secure in Jesus, you live again. You live again. But if you neglect this sobering reality, you die, and then you die, and die, and die, and cannot be dead. Jesus offers us a deception, a deadline, and then he basically leaves us with a decision, because he says, this guy lived his life building things to himself. Look at verse 21. But he was not rich towards God. I love getting behind a clunker of a car and seeing Jesus help me. Oh yes. Bumper sticker that says, don't let my car fool you. My real treasure's in heaven. I love it. Because if you start living your life by looking at the afterlife as being more meaning than this life, Jesus presented this guy and presented this audience with a decision. Could you be rich towards God? Could you live your life in such a way where it outlives in heaven what you lived out on earth? I can't say that again, so I hope you were listening. Pastor, how do I make sure that I don't sell my soul out in this life and lose it in the next? One, you need to be saved. If you're in this room and you are not saved, I'm not talking about a head knowledge of God. I'm not talking about being a good person coming to church here. I'm not talking about joining the church. I'm talking about saved, that you have put your faith, trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that you understand you are a sinner. You come short. You cannot save yourself. And the only thing that can save you is what God has done for you through Christ, and you are saved. Secondly, you need to be surrendered. If God saved your soul, How much more sense would it make for you to live your life surrendered? Lastly, be a steward. Start looking at your life like everything you have belongs to God. Start looking at your life like everything you have belongs to God. You are not the possessor. You are not the owner. Everything you were given in this life was given to you by God, and you have an opportunity to manage it for him. This is what the guy missed. In the story, this is what he missed. Jesus basically said, you're a fool. You've been living your life for yourself. Therefore, you've neglected your soul. And if you live, here it is, if you live for this side only, you sell your soul and you lose it. Some of us in this room, we are thinking about year 18. You are 16, 17, you can't wait till you turn 18 so you can be like, deuces, I'm out. You're thinking about 18. Some of y'all are thinking about 21. Some of y'all are thinking about 40. Some of y'all are thinking about 65. Some of y'all are thinking about 80. You know what nobody's thinking about? Year 191. Year 36,000. Year 410,000. Nobody's thinking about that. Did you know that 410,000 years from now, you're going to be alive somewhere? You ever thought about that? You're planning for this life, but not in the next one. You're living for the dot. The devil's about got you. You about sold your soul, and you're about to shortchange your entire eternity over 78 years of living and losing your soul. If you're not saved, today's the day you get saved. if you're not surrendered. Today's the day you get surrendered. And if you've been a bad steward, if you've been an unwise steward, listen, everything you've built, everything you've accomplished, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything if you've got a winning life but a losing soul. I was writing this sermon and I got to thinking, how do I land this plane and give these people an example of something very relatable? And I thought about two people. And I don't mind using them for the sake of this illustration, and it's going to make sense. I started thinking about who comes to my mind first. The person that came to my mind first was Ted Turner, and I'm going to tell you why. It's not because of TBS, TNT, or TMC. It's not because of Ted's Montana Grill, which I love, by the way. It's because of a statement Ted Turner made years ago. He said, Christianity is for losers. Christianity is a crutch for weak people. And I got to researching old Ted. Do you know that Ted gave away in the 90s $1 billion. He gave away $1 billion to the UN. He has 1.9 million acres that he owns in the United States. Some of us are doing good to have 1.9 acres. He's got 1.9 million. He's got 45,000 bison. He's worth $2.5 billion after giving away $1 billion. I thought about Jeff Bezos because I was like, my kids probably don't know who Ted Turner is. Jeff Bezos. Jeff Bezos is worth $199 billion. He just pledged $10 billion towards climate change, environmental facilitation, stuff for the earth. He's going to be disappointed when he gets to the middle of Revelation. He has given over $3 billion. Listen to this. He's given $3 billion to charities all across this planet. And a man's putting up money in space. Literally. But I got to thinking, all those achievements, all those awards, all that philanthropy, all that charity, all that money, all that net worth. And then I thought, what about Ted and Jeff's soul? What if they're not saved? Ted Turner, who said Christianity is for losers, who has more achievements on more shelves and more rooms than we could ever imagine. Do you know? He is poorer. He is more broke. He has got more loss. Oh my God, listen to me. There's somebody in this room, you don't make but $27,000 a year. You're not proud of your car. You don't even post pictures of it. You don't have an immaculate wardrobe. You don't have an investment. You don't have but about $45 to your name right now in your account. But you've got Jesus in your heart. You've got your name written down in heaven. Your sins have been washed as white as snow. Hell is where you were going, but now you're on your way to heaven. No thanks to you, no thanks to religion, no thanks to your morals, no thanks to your behavior, but thanks that one day God reached down in the hell hole that you were living in. He walked into your life. He rolled all kind of devils out of the way. He called your name. He turned your life around. He picked you up, made you his own, made you a daughter, made you a son, saved you, forgave you, preserved you, rescued you, delivered you. But you ain't got but $27,000 a year. You got $45 to your name. You're wearing Goodwill shoes and you are living life under the standard of what you might think is successful. But you got Bezos beat, baby. Of Because Jesus plus nothing equals everything. What would a man give in exchange for a soul? I mean, look, I like nice stuff, but I don't even know what this is. I got it at Kohl's with some Kohl's cash. It ain't Armani or Versace or Gucci. I don't mind a hand-me-down. I don't, heck, half the shirts I got belong to Jonathan Jackson. Am I telling the truth? Just gave me another, I just wore another one. I do look good. Thank you, Jonathan Jackson. If I may say so myself. I got a Mazda CX-5. It's like a soccer mom car. I don't even know why I got it, but I got it. Sometimes I would love to have something else. Like a 1992 Dodge Viper. And maybe one day I'll get one. Maybe one day I'll get me a big old nice truck. Maybe one day I'll have a Versace. I don't even know if they make men's clothing. But I don't think about that stuff. Because in my mind, I'm like, I wonder who in the tribulation is going to be driving my car. I mean, I could get better at some stuff. We ain't had pine straw in our front yard in probably 2 years. Kind of ashamed to say it. Thank God I got Taylor Parker doing my yard now, and I need some pine straw, Taylor. I need you to help me with that, please. I guarantee you my home in heaven's got pine straw in front of it, though. I'm not talking about neglecting your earthly obligations. I'm just saying, what life are you living for? You need to change your mind. You're on the wrong track. You're living for yourself. Just like that guy in the story was, and you're about to miss the big picture. Stop living for the dot. Start living for the line. Don't sell your soul. Sell out to Jesus, and you will not sell your soul. Somebody give him praise in the house.
Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button on your favorite podcatcher. New episodes are posted each week on Tuesday.